Father's Day, great day. I love Father's Day. Glad to be able to speak about the importance of dads on Father's Day today. So today, I'm going to ask that we do something really old-fashioned here, because I'm used to using my cell phone to read the Bible. Would you take the Pew Bible and use the Pew Bible this morning? And the reason I'm asking you to use the Pew Bible, I want to reference something in the Bible in front. Now, Rick, if you want to keep your own Bible, I won't be offended. But otherwise, if you take a Pew Bible and turn to 979, it'll help you visually see the message this morning. So page 979. And as you're looking, I want to invite you for the next two Wednesday nights. Tom Solomon is going to be doing a presentation helping us, as we share the gospel this summer, to be able to answer some of the hard questions that people present to us. Tom is actually going to present the gospel up in Lake George to his community, and he's going to share a little bit about what he's going to present there to us. But the next two Wednesday nights, 6:30 to about 7:45, be here. Tom, do you have a room that you've chosen? It doesn't matter. We'll find the room. Come on in. Next two Wednesday nights, really equipping us to be prepared to share the gospel and to be ready always to give an answer for the faith that is in us. That's the purpose. So as we look at a Father's Day passage this morning, we're looking at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, where it says, Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I don't think it's an understatement to say that what is critically missing in America today are dads actively engaged in their homes and investing their lives in their children and bringing them up in a knowledge of the Lord. What a difference that would make for our nation. It was stunning for me to read that 4 out of 10 children born in America today are born with no dad in their home. Can you imagine starting life without dad? Can you imagine growing up without dad? It breaks your heart, doesn't it? How precious and how important dads are. The prisons of America are filled with young men, particularly, where dad wasn't at home. America's delinquency is due to the absence of dad. Kids dropping out of school. Kids running away from home. Half of the homes in America that don't have dad, children are growing up in poverty. It's the single most indicator of being impoverished in America is not to have dad at home. Isn't it absolutely convicting? You know, we go, I wonder why. You ever, you know, you hear in the news, I wonder why this happened. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons, or one of the leading reasons, would be that dad's not there. Dad's not there. God created a family. It was designed by the creator of the universe. You cannot replicate, duplicate, imitate. That sounded pretty good, didn't it? That was pretty catchy. You cannot replace dad. Now, when this passage begins and says fathers, it is not saying that moms are important. Any dad knows how important mom is, right? But it is a reminder that God has entrusted dads with that family responsibility. Sometimes I think as dads, we kind of need that extra reminder, you know? I'm wearing sneaks this morning. First time ever, 40 years of preaching, sneaks. Father's Day, I say, I can wear sneaks. So in America, we need moms. But today, I think we need dads too. And I think everyone would recognize that there are complementary roles in the context of the home for training children. You need both. But this is a challenge to dads. This is an encouragement to dads today. The excellence of dad is that you are very, very important. It is very hard to replace dad. And so as we look at this passage this morning, and the passage turns to focus on fathers, we understand the importance of dad. But I wanted to look just at that, the fact that dad is supposed to be an example. Now think about this for a moment. It's pretty convicting. In the Old Testament, God reveals himself by many names, right? Elohim, Yahweh, Adonai, and then all the composition of that. But 15 times, and I'm going to say only 15 times, he reveals himself as Av, Father. Avraham, father of multitude, Av, Father. A-B, if you were to transliterate, A-B. God reveals himself as Father. Now, think about this. You got 15 times. We just went through the Old Testament. It's a long ways, right? You come to the Gospels, and now Jesus reveals himself as the Son of God, and he calls God Father. How many times? 146 times in the four Gospels. Now, that struck me. I said, my goodness, God is revealing himself as Father, and particularly through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So now we really get this, I could say the fullness of God's revelation of himself as Father. Now, pater is the typical Greek, but it was interesting when you think of the name that Jesus affectionately calls his Father, right? He uses a kind of a Palestinian Aramaic word, and it's based similarly to the Hebrew, but he says Abba, Abba, Abba. The word Abba is a colloquial word. It derived from baby language for daddy. This name came to be used by adult sons and daughters, expressing warmth and familiarity. It was incredible that Jesus talks about God as Father, Abba, Father. Now think about all the revelation and the claims of who God is in all the religions of the world. You think of the forces and the distant God, but think about God revealing himself through his Son as Daddy. That you can talk to God as your Father. Isn't that precious? That you can actually go to God and say, Dad, I love you. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, what did he say? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Isn't that precious to be able to refer to God as your heavenly Father who loves you? Now, I know that people have had different experiences with dad growing up in my own family. We have six kids, and they had different experiences of who dad was. But for me, dad was there first thing in the morning. He was there whenever a sporting event. Dad was someone who just cheered me on. I am proud of you. And you think of the role of dad, we have this extraordinary opportunity that God the Father has chosen this picture of who he is through a dad. And guess what? Where the pressure's on? When we speak, we're representing what God the Father is like. Isn't that, that's pretty intense, right? I remember I was actually I'm going through these dusty old sermons from 35 years ago, and they literally stink. They're old. And I'm looking at it, and there was one that said, it was about my son, Ronnie. And I remember being a little, it was my turn to tuck him in. But I had more important things to do that night. I was a little gruff, a little short. And then all of a sudden I felt that convicting voice, you've heard it, right? Said, is that how your Heavenly Father treats you? Is that how God, how I treat you? Convicting, isn't it? And all of a sudden I realized I was misrepresenting the character of God in being short and not patient with my son. A father's example. God reveals himself as father, and the human father is to reflect God the Father to his children. I was part of a church plant while I was in a seminary in Texas, and the pastor's name was John Fry. He said, a father is a man who reflects the image of his father in heaven and who makes it easier for his children to know their father's heavenly father. You got it? Let me say it one more time. A father is a man who reflects the image of his father in heaven and who makes it easier for his children to know their father's heavenly father. So God has chosen to reveal himself through his son, who speaks of God as his father. And I think of how impactful the father's role is in a child's life. But remember, as Jesus begins his ministry, I think of how powerful it was when God the Father, speaking to his son, said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Isn't that a impactful communication from a father to his son? I am just so proud of you. I am just so glad that you're my son. I'm cheering you on. You are precious to me. And I love you very much. So powerful to our children. So as God, looked at the importance of fathers, we see that a father's role is to reflect his heavenly father. Now we come to the passage and we have some admonition, some challenge. And interestingly, in Roman culture, this would have been a very countercultural admonition to a dad. In Roman culture, a father had absolute authority in the home. A dad, I shouldn't even use the word dad, a father could designate a family member and call for capital punishment. No questions asked. We're talking about absolute authority. So when Paul, writing to dads, puts a challenge on dads, it was countercultural. And look at the context of this passage. If you look back at the beginning at this passage in verse 18 of chapter 5, I'm sorry, not the same passage, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. He is saying, dads, your dad role should be under the direction and a guidance of the Spirit of God. You should be controlled by God's Spirit as you exercise your role as dad. And you think about that for a moment, and you go, as you are exercising your role as dad, and simply said, listen, Holy Spirit, control my anger. Holy Spirit, guide my words. Holy Spirit, I yield to your authority as a dad. By the time you got at the end of that, you'd be It would clean up your act, wouldn't you? All the things we've said, oh, I shouldn't have said. Just, Lord, I'm yielding to the Holy Spirit. Now, just tying in for a moment, because Ephesians, when the Apostle Paul begins this letter to the Ephesians, he speaks of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's acknowledging that Jesus is the one who reveals God as Father. And so as he's now describing what fatherhood is, he's laid the foundation in the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now he comes to this, he goes on in Ephesians, this says you've been adopted as children. So in the God's Father, you are adopted into the family as children of God. Now, as he comes to Ephesians 5, he says, now, all of our relationships should be under the control of the Holy Spirit, even my role as dad. And so he says to dads, do not exasperate your children. Exasperate. The ESV that we have in front of you says provoke to anger, because it really has actually has the Greek word for anger there. Do not provoke to anger. Could dads ever provoke their children to anger? Possibility? What possibly could? No, I see a few kids shaking their heads up and down feverishly. Be subtle. But when you think about it, what would provoke? I think clearly when we tell our children to do something and we're not practicing it, I think that could be troubling, couldn't it? Or when we are expressing discipline in anger rather than reflecting God's love. Remember Hebrews chapter 12 describing God the Father disciplines his children? Who does he discipline? Those whom he loves. And so that, or maybe, I think sometimes it might be when a child feels an inconsistency between what mom and dad, then maybe they're not on the same page. That could be frustrating. And I noticed that if you look up at the top of this page, 6979, it says, husbands love your wives. You notice that husbands love your wives comes before fathers do not exasperate your children. I thought that's probably in a sequence there for a reason. So I think about exasperating or provoking to anger. Love the child's mom, model your message, and I'd say one more thing. How do you spell love? Thank you, Steve. T-I-M-E. When we spank before we spank. Oh, I won't even go that way this morning. When we discipline without love, and love demonstrated in time is so important. A father's edification is the next point. How does a dad discipline his children? The word there for discipline means to direct or correct. You know, it says children obey your parents, so clearly mom and dad are involved. Obey your parents in the Lord. The Lord's word and the Lord's direction becomes the guiding principle for that discipline. It is discipline in love. It's discipline where we've communicated expectations before we discipline for failing. It means disciplining defiance, not childishness. It means disciplining not in anger or frustration, but rather in being filled with the Holy Spirit. Discipline without love leads to rebellion. Love without discipline leads to delinquency. Discipline without love leads to rebellion. Love without discipline leads to delinquency. And then the last word there is the word for instruction. The particular word for instruction is this idea of admonishing, but it has the idea of addressing the will. It's the word noutheteo. You've heard of nouthetic counseling. It's not simply informing the mind, but addressing the heart motivation. It's addressing the heart. And so as a dad is disciplining, it's not simply giving information, but helping the child develop a recognition of the right heart attitude. And you do need dads in that role of engaging a child's will, that as they learn discipline from without, God then helps them develop discipline from within so that they become self-disciplined. The goal of discipline is self-discipline. And God has chosen to help dads be critical in that role of addressing the will. Have you noticed how dads are helpful in addressing the will? I don't know if you've noticed that pattern. Dads help address the will. So here the challenge of instruction is admonishment and a warning that addresses the will as well as the mind. One last comment about the father's style, and that is responsible authority does not wield power, it serves with it. Responsible authority does not wield power, it serves with it. God has given you dads a very important role. You are vitally important to your home. You're vitally important to the well-being of your children. They need dad. You are precious to them. So I thought I'd conclude with just this reminder that we also have a Heavenly Father who loves us, who is the model for our dads and an example. And it was just as I was thinking about how Jesus invites us to know our Heavenly Father, I realized how he inserted that in a very important passage of invitation. He said, I am the way, right? The truth and the life. No one comes to the... I never thought about it. I mean, the God that he is introducing us to wants to be your Heavenly Father. It is very hard to be an earthly father if you don't know the Heavenly Father. Very hard to reflect a Heavenly Father without knowing him and having him work through us by his Holy Spirit. So let's conclude this service today praying for our dads. I'm going to ask all our dads to stand this morning. You know who you are. Come on. Okay, good. Let's pray for our dads. Heavenly Father, we just pray for all of our dads here this morning. You've given us a huge responsibility. It is so significant in our children's lives and our grandchildren, some with great-grandchildren here, to have dad's example and dad's engagement. Help us, Lord, to reflect you, our Heavenly Father, as we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, as we relate to our children. Help us to invest time in our children. Lord, help us to not allow frustration to kick in, but to let the Holy Spirit control us so that we can help instruct and encourage, inspire our children. Lord, I just pray your blessing on these men. I pray your blessing on the fathers of America. In Jesus' name, amen.